It's beginning to rain, rain, rain in the wash of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Revenge of the Pharisees. That's the series that we're discussing in this series of sermons each week here on Bible Home Church. Revenge of the Pharisees. You know, there's no doubt at all that Messianic Judaism is subverting Christianity and preparing the way for the final seduction that's described in Revelation 17 and 18. The Pharisees are certainly getting their revenge today. They have a Jewish Talmud, an unholy, satanic book of laws, a guide to the religion, the false religion of Judaism. Many Christians today actually believe, mistakenly so, that Judaism is what Moses taught, that Jeremiah and Micah and Elijah and Elisha and all the great prophets of the Old Testament were members of the Judaic, that is the Judaism religion. But of course, that is sheer foolishness. If they had been, then they would have needed the Talmud. But the Talmud did not come into existence until many hundreds of years after Moses gave the law. That was, of course, given to him in turn by Jesus Christ as God. Now, all of the great prophets then, we know of the law, we know of the commandments, but they never once mentioned the Talmud. If you can show me anywhere in the Old Testament where Jeremiah or Moses or Elijah said, "Let us turn to the Talmud for wisdom," I promise I will give you, well, I don't have $1 million, but I will give you whatever I have. I'll give you everything I own. I guess that would leave me penniless and out on the street if I had a thing to worry about, but I don't. There's no mention of the Jewish Talmud because the Jews didn't put it together until after their captivity in Babylon. Jeremiah had prophesied 70 years they would remain captives. And while they were there, they learned all about the great religion of Babylon and its wonderful formulations of the law. And they set up their own system, the halakha, the Jewish system of laws. There are 613 commandments. Jesus said of their tradition that it was man-made. And he said of the Jews that believed in Judaism in the days of Jesus, yes, by that time, they did practice Judaism because Phariseeism is Judaism. And Jesus said, "You are of your father, the devil." In other words, Judaism is of the devil. He knew of the writings of the so-called learned sages of Judaism. One of their own visited Jesus, Nicodemus, and asked for spiritual advice. "What must I do to enter the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus said, "You must be born again." And Nicodemus, who knew of what the Jews taught in their Talmudic teachings that they had brought back from Babylon many years before, said, "I don't know what you're talking about. How can I be born again? I can't go back into my mother's womb. What are you talking about?" And Jesus said, "You are an elder, a learned elder of Zion, and you do not understand what I'm talking about?" But of course, Jesus was mocking him. No, he didn't know. Jesus said, you must be born again in spirit and in truth. And if you are not, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. The Jews know nothing about spirit and truth. Do you understand that, my friends? Nicodemus had to be taught, instructed by Jesus. And perhaps today it is possible we have no direction in the Bible as to what happened to Nicodemus. But it may very well be that that was his salvation. That was his great day when he received instruction from Jesus. Of course, Jesus was just a carpenter's son. He had no real training from the rabbis. He didn't bow at the feet of the learned sages. Well, he didn't have to. He was the one who wrote the law. He was the one who knew what Moses taught. And it certainly wasn't what the Pharisees taught. He told the Jews, you and your new religion of Judaism, you encompass the whole world. In other words, you travel the whole world just to make one disciple, and then you turn him into twice the devil that you are. To those Jews who bragged and said, but look, we're of our father Abraham. Oh, look at all the wonderful things that we are as Jews, why we're, you know, like gods on earth. Jesus had an answer for them. They said, why, with our Judaic laws, our Judaism, our Phariseeism, we can purify our bodies and our souls. And he gave them some more instruction. He said, if a man sweep himself clean, sure enough, the demon will leave. And he will bring back seven more devils. And they will all enter that man, and his final state will be worse than his first state. So the Jews, as well as other religions, whether it's Islam, Hinduism, they have all kinds of rituals and celebrations, and they have all of these feast days and all of these things, and confession to their priest or their rabbi, in which they purify themselves. And the Jews, they wash their utensils. And on their Sabbath, they can only do certain things. And oh, they have to have kosher food and all of these ritualistic, legalistic things. And they believe that purifies them. And Jesus says, yeah, and the devil who leaves you just comes back with seven more. And your worst state, your final state is worse than the first. Friends, you cannot clean yourself. There are people all over this globe who every New Year's make resolutions. Well, good luck. You'll need luck because you don't have Jesus. People who have Jesus don't even need luck. You know, luck is not even a good word for the Christians to use. I use it myself sometime, and I catch myself telling a person an idle thing like good luck. Good luck? Well, maybe if they don't know Jesus Christ, they do need luck. They need good fortune. But if you have Jesus in your heart and in your life, why, He guides everything. He does everything. You sit in the driver's seat, friend, and He takes the wheel. I like that famous old painting, you know. I know some people don't like to see Jesus pictured in art and all, but as a little boy, I remember that one that had Jesus looking right over the captain of the ship. Oh, it was a stormy, raging sea. Obviously, the boat was about to be lost. And the captain was looking out, trying to see over the sea waves as he had his hand on the wheel. But right behind him was the visage of Jesus. He was in safe hands. I remember a book. I believe, I don't know if it was after World War II, the Korean War. I think it was the Korean War, but an Air Force pilot, U.S. Air Force pilot, he came back after many harrowing experiences, and he wrote a book about his wartime experiences in the air. Oh, he was shot down so many times and all those things, and the title of the book was what struck me. God is my co-pilot. Wow. Well, you're in safe hands, friends. When God is your co-pilot, better yet, just make Him the pilot and get your hands off the wheel. No, there's no luck involved when you're a Christian because God orders your life. And He prepares before you the steps in which you are to follow. You know, I believe very strongly, I know it's probably some kind of an allegorical statement of God, but where the Bible talks about the great banquet table prepared for the saints. None of us are so good that we could help prepare it. But we're not going to be the servants. When you're the servant of the King, then everything is done for you. Now that's an amazing contradiction, isn't it? When you're a servant of the King, everything is prepared for you. When you arrive, the table is set. The banquet table is set. Just make sure you have your wedding garments on for the wedding. If you've forgotten your garments or they're not clean and unspotted, you'll be cast out. But make sure you've got your wedding garments on. And what is that? That's the salvation that Jesus Christ offered on the cross. Make sure you're covered in that. You have something to wear or you'll be found naked and cast out and become destitute. But the table is set for you. Now, friends, I want to tell you something. We don't need to make up a man-made law. And we don't need Phariseeism, Babylonian Talmudism today. The Judaizers are seeking to bring it back. The Messianic Jews within our midst, they don't just become Christians. Many of them, praise God if they become a Christian, but many of the Jews today becoming a Christian suddenly want to bring in all the Jewish laws into Christendom with them. They want you and I to be captive, made captive to the old covenant, which is vanishing, which is death. Did you understand me? It is death. Now let me tell you something, friends. When the new covenant came, that was Jesus Christ, you didn't need the old covenant. The old covenant pointed to the new. I remember I went down and got a driver's license some years back at the Texas Department of Motor Vehicles. And they had to take my picture and such for the driver's license. And they said, now this won't come to you in the mail, your finished driver's license, for about 2 weeks. And they gave me just a piece of paper that was printed without my photo. And they said, you can use this, but it's just temporary. When your permanent license comes in, you can throw this one away. I said, well, what happens if after 2 weeks I don't get my permanent, I still have this temporary? This one won't be any good. If a policeman stops you and says, friend, may I see your license? You say, well, I don't have any authorization to drive the roads. I don't have a license. I have one, but it's not the real. I've been waiting for the real, but it hadn't come. Friends, I won't have any wedding garment. I won't have the right clothing. I'll be cast out. In that case, I'd be given a traffic ticket. And rightly so. Friends, the old covenant pointed to Jesus. He is the new covenant. When Jesus came, don't insult Him by saying, I don't like you. I don't like what you have to offer. Paul said that Jesus was the mystery of godliness revealed to the saints. Well, I don't like this mystery. I don't like the godliness here that's been given to me. I like the old covenant. I liked it before I knew that Jesus was the name above all names. Yeah, I want to go back to the old way. I want to go back to the old law. Paul said that brings death. Phariseeism brings death. Messianic Judaism that has now invaded the Christian churches brings death. Death. Awaken, ye saints, and cast out this old covenant and bring in the new, which is Jesus. He's in your heart. What do you need some silly bunch of laws for that are not written in your heart? If they're not in your heart, you haven't got them. If you need to go back and say, let me study the old ways, then you probably do because you don't have the new covenant written on your heart. If you need the Ten Commandments put on your wall to remind you that you shouldn't kill, you shouldn't steal, Because it's not written on your heart, so every day you have to look at it to remind yourself to keep from going and killing the neighbor next door, or to keep from worshiping a false god, because the first commandment says, thou shalt have no other god before me. But if that's not written on your heart and you need it on tablets of stone, then you're in sad, sad shape. And if you want to say, I need all these feast days, Jesus is going to say, well, they all were just shadows of the real. I'm the real. Don't you want me? I knock at the door. Will you not open the door? You say, no, I don't want to open the door. I like the old shadow. I want the old things. You can have them. Phariseeism. And that is spreading in the churches. And it's something people, because it's so old, it's become new. It's like the retro. Some of these young people today, they love to go in the old shops and buy old clothes and dress up, you know, like grannies used to do 100 years ago. They call it retro. A lot of people are retro. They say, I don't like Jesus. I don't like the new covenant. I'd like to go back to the old ways. It's exciting to dance like the Jews and to have the Jewish feast and to have the Sabbath that's such and such and to eat the right way, the kosher way. Always looking for something new. People who look for something new go back to the old quite often. And they revive it. And it leads them right back to Babylon. And that's exactly what the Bible said. The oldest of the old will come back and people will believe it's new. Okay, we're going to have some music here. You know, we're going to have Elvis Presley again. Elvis Presley. Oh, I know. I can't say he's in heaven for sure. But he sure was given a great voice by God. I hope he's using it in heaven right now. Or better yet, I hope he's got a better voice. I think there's going to be heavenly music that is better than anything heard on earth. I really do believe that. But in any case, I know one thing. This song is a powerful song. I love it. And I love Elvis singing it. And I do hope he's in heaven. If he's not, well, what can we do? It's too late. It's appointed for every man and every woman once to die, afterward the judgment. We could pray for Elvis all day long, but he's not in purgatory. He's either in heaven or he's in hell. I pray he's in heaven, but I can't do anything about it now. It's too late. When he died that day, some years ago, that was it. He went to his reward, whatever that was. Some people say, well, he was in hell because he promoted rock and roll. That may be. I don't know. I really don't know. But I know one thing. This song is a beautiful one. His voice was given to him by God. Too bad he didn't use it wholly for God's kingdom. Hey, you can write to us. You may disagree with me. And I still want to hear from you. I still love you. Okay, hey, friends. Here's Elvis Presley with Peace in the Valley.
Well, tired and so weary, but I must go along till the Lord. And and lying shall lay down by the Lamb. Oh, 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 yes. And the beast from the wild shall be led by child, and I'll be changed from this creature that I am. Oh, yes.
There will be peace in the valley. There'll be no sadness,
no sorrow, oh my darling, no
trouble I see.
There will be peace in the valley for me, for me.
It says, if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Verse 8 says, howbeit then, when ye knew not God, ye did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, verse 9, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? In other words, okay, you're a son of God. You've got the Holy Spirit. You cry out, Abba, Father. You're calling God Father. He's calling you His Son. Magnificent. And He's given you the kingdom. And after He's given you the kingdom, you're going to go back to the weak and beggarly elements of the old covenant, of the old traditions. If I were God, I'd say, go back to them. I take away the kingdom. I'm ripping it out of your heart. You'll no longer be a new man, but I'm not God. I'm just telling you what I do because I'm just a mean old person. God may be a little bit more merciful than me. In fact, I know He's a lot more merciful than me. But now, after ye have known God, or rather known of God, in other words, you're known of God. God knows you as His Son. Why do you turn back to the weak and beggarly elements? Whereunto you desire again to be in bondage. Do you want to be in bondage? Do you want to be a slave to those traditions? Those ordinances? See, that text, it don't talk there about those holy days. I like my Passover. I like my Rosh Hashanah. I like all those Jewish things. Oh, man, I love that stuff. Oh, yes, I got to have that. I got to have a special day for my Sabbath. I got to have everything I want. Oh, man, yeah, well, I'm not finished yet. Let's get on to verse 10. Don't take anything out of context. It's bad enough what I've just told you, that if you have the Spirit of God in you, you're the Son of God, don't go back to those weak and beggarly elements that'll keep you in bondage. And what are they? Verse 10 says, ye observe days and months and times and years. Oh, you got to have a certain holy day. You got to have a certain month. You got to have these years, you got to have this jubilee time, jubilee year. Ye observe days and months and times and years. What did Paul say? Those are weak and beggarly elements that keep you in bondage. Verse 11 says, I am afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. I'm afraid for you, or I'm afraid of you. Maybe all of the work I've done preaching to you, he said, is in vain. Now, friends, that's the way it is. But there's more than that. People are now calling Jesus Yeshua. And they're calling, you know, God Yahweh. And they're getting into all of this messianic junk. Jesus warned, if it were possible, even the very elect would be deceived. A number of people write to me all the time, Turks, don't you believe that this day or that day we should have this festival or that holy day? Don't you believe that one day is best for... Listen, I believe in the Sabbath. And you... If you want to pick a certain day to honor God more, that's fine. Personally, I believe every day you should equally honor God. Don't let down one day. Do I believe in the Sabbath? Absolutely. You say, well, do you believe in Saturday? Saturday is absolutely wonderful. Now, it says in the Bible that they met on the first day of the week, the Christians did. But interestingly enough, they also went into the synagogues on Saturday and preached to the Jews. So if you want to make Sabbath day your day, that is Saturday, wonderful. Who am I to say you shouldn't do that? I mean, in the Old Testament, God says honor the Sabbath, keep it holy, do it. Are you supposed to defile then Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday? God forbid. Make that as equally holy. Friends, listen to me. Honor God. You say, well, but I'll go to work on Monday or Tuesday. Honor God while you're working. Well, I've got to do this or that and I can't make it a day of rest. Well, go out and work. You know, even Paul said, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. And if a man doesn't earn a living for his wife, he's... and his kids, he's worse than an infidel. So go work.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.